This is Pace the Nation. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Pace the Nation. We're broadcasting back here at Studio 1A here in downtown Arlington, Virginia. We are in the heart of all things. Of course, that is Clarendon. And we are back. This is not an old show. This is July 18th, 2023. Pace the Nation back. I'm your host, Chris Farley. I'm not even going to mention the name of the show or the number of the show because this is a restart of Pace the Nation. And of course, alongside me, introduce my co-host. It's Julie Cully. Julie, what's up?
We had to do a little cleanup job on the way in. There was some dust here. Yeah. It was like pretty thick layers. I just cleaned off the desk and cleaned off the mic.
Yeah, that's
we're
right.
Here.
We're here back in Studio 1A. Excited to be back. A restart of Pace the Nation. And thank you guys for joining us and listening to the program. Excited to be back. We are back for our regularly scheduled programming of every other week. We're going to have some great guests. We're going to have some great banter between Julie and Chris.
Big promises here. Big promises.
All those things you've come to expect from Pace the Nation, we are going to deliver here in the second half of 2023. Again, this is not a recording. This is a new show here.
Well, it is a recording.
Well, it's a recording, but a new show, July 18th, 2023. So we are excited to be back. We've got an exciting guest here today. We're going to get to him in just a bit, but we've got to tell our audience where we've been. The audience deserves to know what's been happening with Pace the Nation and Julie and Chris, and what was for the why the long layoff.
I'm curious. Why the long layoff?
Well, I mean, the long layoff. I think that we were just incredibly busy.
Okay.
You know what? And that's no excuse. I know that people have come to.
Do we
really
think our fans weren't busy? I think maybe our fans were busy
the
too.
Show over the last 5 years, so we are back. It's just been a crazy time for us personally and professionally. And let's get into it. Let's get into where we've been, what we've been doing, because our last broadcast, our last recording was November of 2022,
wow.
And here we sit, July of 2023, and people probably thought that Pace the Nation was done, over.
It was a goner.
It was a goner, but no, we are back. So, Julie, where have you been?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Tag, I'm in.
Yep.
Since November. So November was about 8 months ago. Yeah, lots happened. So I left my role. I think our audience probably knows that I was working sports marketing for Brooks, and I left that role in December. Mm-hmm. We moved in December.
Yep.
We probably never really talked about it all that much on the show, but we were in the process of moving into a new home for about 2.5 years. So we lived in 3 different residences in 2.5 years. In December is when we finally got settled. So I left my role at Brooks in December. We moved into our home in December, and I would just call the last 7 months a quiet period.
Not really that quiet, though.
Well, I'm not quiet, sure. But we were quiet externally. Yeah. You have to deal with all my loudness at home.
Yeah, correct.
But it kind of feels natural to be like, I started a new role in the last week and we're getting going with this again. So I can kind of look back at the last 7 months and been like, we got our family settled. Mm-hmm. I was able to spend a significant amount of time with our 3 boys. You know, when you have a job that requires you to be on the road so much, there's things that you miss.
Yep.
And things got real quiet for me in January, February, March. And I had a 6-month non-compete with Brooks. So that meant I could not have a role that was running related or inside the running industry for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a big reason for the quiet period. But there's silver linings to that. Like, there's a gift in being able to have some quiet time to be able to be more present with your family. And so I kind of come into this new time period, excited and really more reconnected with what I want and what's best for our family. And I'm excited about that. So there's not many times in life you get to take a break. Mm-hmm. I never really had breaks for the three pregnancies. Not that having a kid gives you a break, but jumping back into work a little sooner than maybe most would.
After pregnancies.
And I think this was a really amazing time period to just like, where are we going? Where are we at? Who are our children? What do they like to do? What do they need? Mm-hmm. And certainly I play a pretty significant role in that as their mother. So it's been great. I mean, I don't know how long-winded of an answer you actually wanted out of me.
That was perfect.
But it's been good. It's been the most welcome 7 months of kind of reconnection that I could ever
have. You've never stopped. You went to college and you coached right after college, and then you ran professionally and you made an Olympic team, and then you coached, and then you worked for Brooks, and then you had kids all along the way, and you never stopped.
Yeah. Master's degree in there too.
Yeah, got married in there too.
Oh yeah, that thing. Yeah, it just, you know, like you go, and this was a very welcome break. I don't think that was what I was intending in terms of like, hey, non-compete seems like a break. But it was. There's silver lining to transition in life, and this was one of them. So I felt really lucky to have an opportunity to reconnect. And I'm just psyched about the future. So I think as a mother of three, like we own a business together, you know, having the opportunity to be like, time out, what do we need? What do we want? What makes sense for our family? You don't get that time normally. So this was that time. And I feel psyched about, you know, what's next.
Well, we're going to talk about what's next in a second here, but you were busy with the kids, with the house, with the family, all that stuff. One of the most exciting things you did during the 7 months was this Des Linden interview in May.
Yeah.
This was awesome. And we'll have a link to the entire interview, and we'll tweet that out at Pace the Nation as we get that Twitter and Instagram.
Dust it off.
Let's dust it off again. But that was awesome. So tell folks about that interview, that live show you did with Des Linden in May.
So Des, one of the best things I think about the work that I did at Brooks, and one of the greatest things that I walk away with, is a deeper connection and relationship with Des. So she and I were teammates, and we'd been competitors for years and slightly different distances on the track, but we knew each other and had certainly fond respect for each other. But getting to work with her up close and personal and working on next chapter for her at Brooks, what that looks like in terms of her career, working on her contract as her sports marketing manager, really brought us together. We had biweekly calls. We spent a lot of time at events and stuff. So she's been a great friend and really become a significant individual in my life. And she, you know, wrote this incredible book called Choosing to Run. And it launched this spring right around the Boston Marathon. It's really the story of her career. It's a memoir. And it gives so much insight into a lot of experiences that professional athletes, and certainly aspiring professional athletes, like have come to experience over the last decade or two in the space. And so we brought her to DC to interact with our community here. She doesn't know the DMV too well. And we had a sold out crowd at the State Theater. I think it was Monday, May 22nd or so. Mm-hmm. About 500 plus people was capacity. And it was basically standing room only to have this conversation with her. And it was just awesome. I mean, her story is incredible. And I think it was just really fun to have her in here in DC interacting with avid fans. And then for her and I just to be up on stage together, like two friends having a conversation. We were actually holding Miller Lights up on stage, even though she had a signature drink for the evening.
She did, yep.
Which involved bourbon.
But that was kind of a nod to me, because she knows I'm a huge Miller Light fan. Yeah, still looking for that Miller Light sponsorship.
She knows you so well. Yeah. She basically didn't want to have too much to drink, and that was the first thing you handed her. But close, hey, yeah, it was a nod to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was awesome. And we got to spend a few days with her. The Padres were in town. Yep, that was one of the reasons why we scheduled it the way we scheduled it. And when we scheduled it was to be able to spend a couple days with Dez. And we got together with Brooks folks and a bunch of people from the company and got to spend a couple days together. So it was awesome. I mean, Dez is popular for a reason, and I think she did an amazing job of just connecting with our audience, with you know, runners and fans across the DC area. And it was cool. There were people that came from like pretty far and wide to watch this event.
She was a 15 out of 10. She was amazing. It was an awesome week that she was in town. She went to two Padres games. You went and hung out with her for both of them, or maybe you didn't make it to the game. You guys probably just did dinner together.
Yeah, we had dinner and she went into the game.
Yeah. But what an awesome, awesome experience. And if you missed it, we do have the full interview up that we will tweet out that Julie and Dez did together, which was awesome. All right. So what's next for you, Julie? And we do have another guest after I finish this interview of Julie. What's next for you?
Yeah, also you're making it seem like I'm the reason we didn't record for 8 months. So like there might be something you want to add to this afterwards. What's going on with Julie? This is the reason we haven't recorded.
You're more interesting. So what's going on next for you professionally?
So I just took a role with a company called Relay, based out of Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we sell 99% new, which basically means returns and surplus inventory inside the run industry. So mostly shoes.
Okay.
And we have a cleaning process, a reboxing, and basically a marketplace where shoes are sold.
So excess inventory that didn't have a home before, but really good shoes. So this isn't like outlet stuff that nobody wanted.
Yeah, I challenge our customers to be able to tell the difference between what's considered brand new and what's considered 99% new. Because with our teams there, we're able to clean it and prep it. And most of these shoes probably have less than a quarter mile to a half mile wear on them.
Mm-hmm.
But these were shoes that were sitting in places and not necessarily being sold in a kind of streamlined way. And so we've created this secondary marketplace. I shouldn't say we. I just got started. But we as a team.
You're part of the team, yeah.
Yeah. So created this marketplace. And so it's a huge it's a sustainable company, so we call it a zero-waste marketplace, meaning every single shoe that comes into the facility finds a home.
Okay.
So they're either reboxed, cleaned, reboxed, and sold, cleaned, reboxed, and donated, or fully recycled. So I think that's an amazing thing in this world where we need to be finding more ways to keep product in circle. And available for purchase. So I'm going to be heading up marketing. To date, the marketing has been mostly through word of mouth, and the company is growing exponentially, which is really exciting. There's a huge demand in this space. So I'm excited. We're basically going to be starting from scratch in terms of branding and positioning and and advertising.
And the time is now for a company like this. It's relayrun.co, not com, relayrun.co. Check it out. You can buy your next pair of shoes there. A nice compliment to Pacers, to runpacers.com. You know, the shoes are less expensive, but high quality. Like you said, 99% of the wear left in them. So check out relayrun.co.
And a lot of the brands are doing this, already through their own websites. They have repurposing initiatives. So we're just kind of joining that movement, which is great. The cool part about what we have is we offer it all in one space. And so we don't have just one specific brand. We're authorized with almost every brand that people come to love in terms of running. So check us out. Let us know what you think.
Is your new company going to allow you to podcast every other week?
If I drop the name Relay and the website and send people that way, I think so.
Okay. All right. So that's what Julie's been up to. Excited to be back. We're back in person here, which is also exciting. Thanks to Stoner behind the scenes here making this happen. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on wherever podcasts are, obviously, if you're new to the show or if you're getting reintroduced to the show. We are back in person, which for the last couple of years we haven't been. So that's super exciting. And
which is weird because it's me and you and we live together. Yeah. So I don't know why we're doing
in person. It's true. Yeah, but excited to be back in person. We'll have guests in person. Our guest today was in person as well. This is a pre-recorded interview that we did with our guest, which we're going to get to. But quick update on me. I got much less exciting of an update where I've been the last 7 months. It's been a lot of Pacers work, it's been great. Getting moved into the house and... You know, the kids are growing. Their birthdays are next month, 7, 5, and 2. So those boys are crazy. Keep trying to keep up with them. And I'm running every day.
I was going to say, when are we going to talk about your running?
I'm running every day. Training for the New York City Marathon. Yeah. So we're trying to do a little content about the New York City Marathon and my running my 25th three-hour marathon this fall. So that's what I'm really excited about. But I'm also really excited about the show. So what do I want from the show? I want us to be consistent. I want to be there for the audience. I want to win back the audience and your trust that we can be there for you every other week. We've got a number of exciting guests lined up, including our guests for today. But I'm really excited to be back in action and back in person, and I know that we're probably going to have to win back our audience, like I said, but I think we can do that. All right. So with that said, let's talk about our next guest. Excited today to be joined in person here on a pre-recorded interview by high schooler Tenoda Matsatsa. He is the first African-American high school athlete to break 4 minutes in the mile, which is super cool. He's local-ish. He lives, you know, a little bit north of us towards Baltimore.
He's in the DMV.
We're going to call it DMV. And exciting, this is very exciting news. We're going to be working with him next year as he comes to the Hilltop. As he goes to the Hilltop and he's going to run for the Hoyas, the Georgetown Hoyas. So... they've got an awesome, awesome athlete coming in this fall in Tenoda, who I think is
high school national champion, New Balance high school national champion this year, as well as U20 champion in the 800.
Yep. Yeah. So he is a phenomenal athlete, and let's bring him in, and then we'll talk about what has happened over the last week since our interview. But with that, Julie, excited to bring our first guest in since our hiatus, our 7-month hiatus, honored to have with us, Tenoda Matsatsa. He is going to join us right here on Pace the Nation.
Pace the Nation is brought to you by Pacers Running Stores. Pacers has 5 stores in Northern Virginia and D.C. For the best running footwear, apparel, and gear, just stop by or schedule a virtual fitting with the best running experts in the business. Pacers Running exists to help as many people as possible through running. For every run, it's Pacers Running.
All right, welcome back to the program. And now, Julie, we are excited to be joined by high school phenom. He's sitting right across from us, and I'm going to try not to butcher his last name. It's Tenoda Matsatsa. Tenoda, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing great. Today.
We're doing well, man. How did I do on the name? Julie, do you think?
I it's not my name.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I'm
how did I do, Tenoda?
It was perfect.
It was perfect. My man. Well, thanks.
Tenoda, just so you know, Chris is notorious for really messing up names.
Badly.
Even really, really, really simple names to say. So
Yep.
I'm not sure he knows how to pronounce my name properly.
It took me a few years. We've been married for 9, so... well, great to have you on board here at Pace the Nation podcast, and you're wearing your Pacers running shirt. We're going to see some stuff with you with Pacers running. Really excited about that. You're getting ready for U20s, which is awesome. We're going to talk about that. So you are the first Black high school athlete to run a sub 4-minute mile. I mean, that's pretty powerful. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me, honestly. Like, I've been getting a lot of DMs from a lot of other Black athletes saying that they want to follow in my footsteps, and that I've inspired them to also try and run a sub 4 minute mile. And like, to myself, it just means a lot, because I'm glad that, like, it wasn't really a goal of mine until late April when I ran 4:05, and the other Black athlete that I was trying to break four hadn't broke it yet. So I was like, this is seeming more and more of a reality that I would be able to break it. So the fact that I was the first one to do it in such a great fashion was just amazing.
It is amazing. It was at the Hoka Festival of Miles. You're a St. Andrews Episcopal athlete. You'll be headed to Georgetown to compete for the Hoyas next year, brother. That is awesome. But before we talk about some of that and some of your recent accomplishments, take us back, because you weren't always a runner. It was more of a you're more of a soccer guy.
Yeah, I started playing soccer when I was two. I played soccer throughout my whole life. Not once did I ever think that I would change my sport. It was soccer in the fall, soccer in the winter, soccer in the spring, soccer in the summer. Even though we didn't have like a summer league per se, we still trained over the summer. So except for the last 3 years. The last 3 years that I was on my team, we did have a summer league. Mm-hmm. But before that, it was just fall, winter, spring games, and then summer training. So, and then when I went into high school, I didn't think that I'd make the high school soccer team, because I was like really small. I was like 5 foot or 4'11" and like 88 pounds. I was skinny. I did not think at all, because I heard people got cut from JV. I was like, I'm not gonna let that be me. I'm gonna run cross country. Since I ran cross country in middle school and I won every single race, I thought, you know, I could do high school cross country and it wouldn't be too bad. Well, I was a little wrong about that. My first 3 days were like pain inducing.
Yeah, because you hadn't been training.
No, I thought I'd be playing soccer until I realized, you know, I wouldn't be able to make the team. So I just decided to do cross country.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And it was your mom who said, hey, maybe give this cross country a chance. You got to give her some shine, some props here.
Yes, she did. When I started running, I was kind of forced to do it. Like, they're like, there's a whole backstory. Like, me and my sister, we were supposed to fill out the forms that and then give them to our gym teacher so that we would be able to participate in fall sports, which for my middle school was cross country for us. And me and my sister didn't want to do it. So as fall sports were starting and the deadline was like arrived, me and my sister, we were trying to walk out the door to the front of the school so that we can get on the bus and get home and then miss the whole season of fall sports. But then out of nowhere, my gym teacher, Mr. Broman, he comes up to me and my sister and says, hey, your mom came and filled out the forms and she turned it in. You're all good to go for cross country. At the time, like to him, I said, yay, thank you. But in my brain, I was like, no.
Here we go.
I was actually so sad, because I was like, why am I running?
Well,
I literally play soccer.
Well, mom, Julie's mom of three boys, mom knows best.
Yeah,
she really does.
I will say. Yeah.
That's really cool that sort of changed the trajectory of your life, right?
Literally, yeah. It changed it a whole lot, because I don't think that I'd be traveling as much for soccer than I did for cross country in my for running in my last like 2-3 years. So I'd say that my life got changed like upside down, basically.
So you ran you broke the 4 minute mile running as we said earlier, 3:58 in St. Louis in June. That was a pretty big jump for you, right? I mean, yeah. You were a really good runner, but breaking the 4 minute mile, was that a PR by a number of seconds?
PR by 7 seconds.
Wow. Wow. What gave you the confidence that you could run that pace?
I've been having really good training. Like, I think the two or three workouts, like the last workout or two workouts before I raced that mile, I did 600s and 400s. My 600s were done like under 4 minute pace. Mm. So and my 400s were like right on 4 minute pace. So that workout itself like gave me the confidence to know that I would be able to hold it. Even though during the workout I was like kind of tired and dying, and I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna go through in like 60 and then keep on holding.
And then another one and another and another.
I didn't know how I'd do that four times. But I knew that if I trusted my training throughout the whole year and all the races and experience that I've had, like I knew that it would work, especially since I'm an 800 runner and the race plan going in was to go through the 800 in 2 minutes, because the front had a pacer and they were going through in like 150, like 6, 157. But I said that I would hang back and then negative split. Since I learned that I was able to do that back when I ran 405 at Virginia. So I knew that with competition and a pacer and like great weather and a great atmosphere, I knew that I would be able to at least go through in two flat and at least come back in two flat or faster.
What did you think about the field when you saw that field lining up for it? Were you like, all right, game on?
To be honest, yeah. Like at first, When I realized everyone was going to Festival of Miles, I was a little worried, because I was like, everyone there's kind of fast, because at the time I was seated ninth. Wow. And like three people had already broken four over there, so two people already ran four flat, and like everyone there was just fast. But I like being in the company of fast, because that brings out the best in me, considering my past races. So I'd say that the closer I got to the race, I got more excited and more excited to like to be able to race them.
Yeah, to talk about like a little bit more about what the competition is out there. I mean, it's, you know, 358 in my day would be, you know, by far the best
the
time.
NCAA champ.
I know. Yeah, the NCAA champ. Now you're a high school dude running 358. So yeah, talk about the competition and how that's risen your level.
Me being who I am, I just love racing against fast people. And I knew at the front my competition would be like Rocky Hansen, Connor Burns, Simeon Birnbaum for sure, Clay Shively, Tayson Echohawk. Jackson Heidish. There was a lot of talent there. So I guess them being fast kind of pulled me to also go faster and like bring out like how fast that I could truly run.
Tanoda, you got to do us a favor going into college next year. Mm-hmm. We are seeing this trend of super fast racing, but just to accomplish super fast times. Now, it sounds like when you guys were in the Festival of Miles, it's like you get a group of guys together, you just race, right? Or was there a pacer?
There was a pacer there.
Okay. But the best piece of it, I would imagine, would actually accomplish the bunch of guys going under four was just the head-to-head racing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. That's what we need to see more of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. We see a lot of people going after fast times, but really getting after it with some of these competitive moments and just racing, like pure racing. You know, going into this race that you've got some great talent. Let's just get in there, go head-to-head.
Yeah, to be honest, I like races like those a lot, because I started racing like that. I started being involved in more of those races towards the end of last year, back in AAU, back in AAU Nationals. It was the finals of the eight, and there was like everyone there was under 153. I was scared at the time because I was at 153. So, but I knew that with competition and the way I've been training over the summer, that I'd be way better. And then this year, like I've been involved in some pretty competitive head-to-head races, like the Milrose Games. That I think that was my first taste of like a real competitive mile.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the best shape, but I still loved the race because it wasn't too fast. It was mostly like tactical.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that I was at least able to remain near the front and be able to not fall back like most people did, and still PR coming off of something.
Yeah, and so you have been racing though ever since even the Festival of Miles. Brooks PR, what place were you there?
I was fourth there.
You were fourth. And then New Balance National, what place were you there?
I was first there.
You were first there. So, okay. So now we head to under 20 USATF race. Now you're racing not just against high school kids, but you're racing against anybody who's under 20. So that's going to be a bunch of college kids. Mm-hmm. How you feeling? Nervous? You don't seem like you're unwavering. They're unwavering.
I'm just glad that I'm able to run with more fast people. Because, of course, over the seasons, I've raced a lot of fast 800 runners in high school, but like, I'm glad that I'm finally getting the opportunity to race against like people in college who are like college freshmen and stuff who also have experience with like big racing and like finals and stuff. So I'm just gonna stick true to my race plan. I'm not gonna say it yet, of course. Everyone's gonna just have to see what it is.
That's right.
But I'm just glad that I'm gonna have more competition so that I can get pushed to run faster.
And is it straight finals or do you do rounds?
There's semifinals on Friday and then finals on Saturday.
Of the 800.
Yeah. So is that a new thing for you? Are you used to doing back to back like that?
I did do it last year at AAU, but like that was about it. That was the only time that I had semis and then finals. But I don't think it should be too much different. Of course, like there's not a day in between now since like it's Friday and then Saturday. Mm-hmm. But like as long as I don't exert too much, as long as I'm able to just qualify for it, mm-hmm. for the race on Saturday and not exert like too much energy and then I recover properly, I think I'll be good. To be able to drop something fast on Saturday.
You're a confident kid. I know you're going to be good. I can't wait to see you race. It's at Eugene. Have you been to Eugene? Have you raced on that track before?
Yeah, I've been there. I went there once for Nike Nationals last year. And it was honestly amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I get to go back there for U20s.
That's awesome. You're a confident kid. There's an article, and we'll send out a link in the Washington Post. The article is, he's the first Black high school athlete to run a sub-4-minute mile. The title is about you being a Black high school athlete. First one to break 4 minutes. Let's go back to that. Do you feel like you could be an inspiration for kids out there who look like you?
Yeah, I do. Cause I've gotten a few messages from them on Instagram saying that I've inspired them to also break the 4-minute mile. And that they're trying to become me. Like I'm just glad that I'm inspiring people that are younger than me to be able to push themselves to also break these barriers sometime in the future.
Now, did your family run before you got into it? Was this something that your parents did or siblings did? You talk about your sister doing cross country, but
yeah, how did your mom know that you were going to be so good? He was
88 pounds at the time.
Yeah, were you just never pulled out of the soccer game?
That, yes, and my mom did run cross country back when she was in Africa. So she also wanted me to try and do it here. And back in soccer, people would say that I'm kind of like a sweat when it comes to running. Like one, I was fast sprinting wise, but I also just up and down the field always. And even if I was tired, I was still trying to sprint back. I was trying to sprint back since that was my position, and I wanted to stay true to what I was doing. So I'd say my fitness definitely came from being like all over the field on soccer.
Awesome. Well, we really look forward to working with you. We're trying to arrange, and we got to work through some other channels, a sponsorship arrangement with Tonoda, which is really exciting, with Pacers and the properties that come with Pacers, which is Pace the Nation podcast, Relay. So we've got a lot of great things that you can help us promote. And I'm really looking forward to working with you. Now, I wanted to mention your coach. You're at St. Andrew's Episcopal, but you're working with a coach, a private coach, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about your coach.
She's very like enthusiastic.
All right, what's her name? Yep.
Her name is Chris.
Chris.
Her name is Chris Jost.
Chris Jost. Yep. Yep. A lot of people who probably listen to Pace the Nation know Chris Jost. Yep.
Yeah. So we basically met through her recruiting me for New Balance Nationals this year. Since I was top 5 returning, they recruit top 5 returning from all events for indoor nationals. So I got, so she recruited me to go, and she found out that I live in Maryland and she also lives there. So, and she was like, do you have a coach? I said, no, not really. We don't have a set distance coach. They're kind of trying to find one. Last year during indoor world, we also didn't have one really. So she coaches close to my school. So she was like, okay, well, if it's fine by you, then, you know, we can meet up 2-3 times a week and I'll train you. And the days that we don't meet, I'll send you some runs. And I was like, that's great. Yeah.
When did that start? When did your relationship with Chris start?
I think it started like mid October is when she first like reached out. And then we like met in person to train for the first time.
Well, I mean, you got to give her a lot of credit. Mid-October? Wow, you have grown since then.
For sure, of course.
Your races have been amazing since then.
I've become basically like a new person, basically. Yeah.
Now, Chris, star runner at Villanova.
Yeah.
And you're going to Georgetown.
Did she talk to you about that rivalry?
Yeah, is that tough? Yeah.
She told me a lot about it between Villanova and Georgetown in the Big East. I actually saw it this year when it was basically Villanova versus Georgetown in the distance events during indoors.
Yeah.
So that was always fun to watch.
Yeah, that rivalry is still very strong between those two squads.
All right, and we got to touch on Georgetown before we let you go. I know you got a track workout to do, but you're going to the Hilltop, man. You're going to run for Alton McKenzie and Brandon Bonzi. Man, that must have been a tough decision to decide on a lot of great schools. Why Georgetown?
I really like Georgetown because one of the location is pretty close and the campus looks amazing. And also, I really love the coach and all that he's done for me so far. He was really patient with me throughout my recruitment journey. Like, he was the first school to reach out back in like May after I ran 4:10, and like throughout after that we've had a good relationship. And I also loved the team because mm-hmm. they were welcoming when I first came. Everyone there was fast. I was staying with some of the freshmen that I like. One of the freshmen that I raced against last year at Nationals, actually. So it was good to mm-hmm. it was good to be with someone that I've been on the track before with back in my late career.
That's awesome. Well, you got a Georgetown postgraduate degree. She got a degree from Georgetown and former coach. So she's going to wave the Georgetown Hoyas flag, right?
I'm going to wave the flag. Yes. I'm going to wave the flag. You're in good hands. That was the staff I got to work with. So yeah. Coach McKenzie, Coach Bonzi, Coach Baker. So that's my crew. They'll take good care of you.
And you guys are going to do big things, and you're going to be a big part of this next generation of runners at Georgetown.
Of course,
yeah. It's got a great history. I know we got some Georgetown folks who listen, history in track and, going back to what Coach Gags did there years and years ago. So, it's exciting that you're going to be part of this new Georgetown crew and build your own history.
Of course, yeah. I can't wait to run fast races with all my new teammates.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Tenota. It is like windy and raining, but you're resilient. You'll be able to get out there. You'll be able to get out there.
I'll try my best.
Find a way.
Yeah. You'll find a way. Well, man, it's been great to talk to you. We'll look forward to seeing some. We're going to try to do some stuff with Tenota at USA Juniors. We've got our guy, Johnny, out there. He's going to take some video. So the audience, the Pace Nation audience, the Pacers audience can get updated with what's happening. It's the race again is, and this podcast may or may not come out before the race, but it's going to be Friday, July 7th. And then we expect you to make the final. So you'll be racing right again on Friday, July 8th. Just conserve. Saturday, July 8th. Just conserve some energy for us on that Saturday.
I got you guys.
You got it. He's a showman. He's got us.
Tactical master.
Yeah, he is. All right. I'm going to try this one more time, Julie. It's Tenota Mastas. Oh, man. Oh, man. I know. I blew it. All right. Give us your last name. I got to try this again.
Matsatsa.
Matsatsa. Tenota Matsatsa. He is the first sub-4-minute miler as a Black high school athlete. Man, congratulations on all your success. Can't wait to continue to follow you. And thank you so much for joining us today on Pace Nation.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad that I was given the opportunity to be here.
That's awesome. All right, there he goes. That's Tsunoda. He joined us on Pace the Nation. Julie, we're going to take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Pace the Nation is brought to you by Pacers Running Stores. Pacers has 5 stores in Northern Virginia and D.C. For the best running footwear, apparel, and gear, just stop by or schedule a virtual fitting with the best running experts in the business. Pacers Running exists to help as many people as possible through running. For every run, it's Pacers Running.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks again for Tsunoda Matsatsen for joining us today on the program. Awesome interview, awesome kid. Really excited to hopefully work with Tsunoda here in the future. As you can work with these high school kids with all these new rules.
College kids,
high school kids with NIL. So we're looking to work with Tsunoda in the future. And he is the perfect person for Pacers to work with. There's a couple pictures we're going to send out. Our guy Johnny Pace got some video of him there at U20s. And let's talk about U20s. Wow, what a performance there. So U20s, what is U20s? Explain U20s. That just happened this past week.
So U20s is USATF's national championship. Mm-hmm. So USA Track and Field. And I think it's every other year they have a world championship, kind of similar timeline to the senior world championships. Last year they had a world championship. So this was a non-world championship year. But I believe the high school / early college kids, anyone under the age of 20 years old, were able to vie for a spot on the Pan Am team. Mm-hmm. And Pan Am's is this summer. So the Pan American Games this summer. So it's a really cool championship. High school is very odd. There is no one national championship. Right. I guess you would see that in a lot of other sports as well, but you'd have Brooks PR as an unofficial high school championship, Nike Nationals as a national championship, New Balance Nationals as a national championship, and I believe Adidas has a championship in Greensboro, as well in North Carolina. So there's a lot going on, but Tsunoda grabbed 2 of those titles pretty decisively, too, against some really talented kids. He's obviously extremely talented, but great competition. And
he was racing against college kids
and
beat them all.
Yeah.
And he led the entire way there was a semifinals and a finals, wire to wire in both of them.
Yeah. So he kind of shocked people.
Pretty awesome. 147 in the finals.
Wait, is that the bump? Did he get a bump from us from being on the show?
Yes. As longtime listeners know, you get a bump. There is an advantage to doing an interview with us before.
We need to play that up as we're building out our guest list here.
So congrats to Tsunoda and congrats to the show for continuing on the bump. But yes, he won out in Eugene, competing under 20s against collegians. There was professionals there in other races, but the kid looked like he could have been in the professional race. So pretty awesome. Really looking forward to seeing what he does in the future.
Yeah, it's great to see U20s at the same exact time as the senior races too, because for those, anybody under the age of 20, being able to see that competition, it used to be 2 different meets.
Right.
So now they're there simultaneously. So it's a great community, a great celebration of track and field. And it's really cool for someone like him to look around and be like, that's what I want to aspire to. Like, I want to make it to the 800 or the 1500 championships as I continue to grow as an athlete.
All right, so congrats to Tsunoda. Awesome stuff. I'm looking forward to continue to talk with him throughout the next year and potentially working with him. Great kid, amazing performance, and we met his family. His mom came to Pacers. Wow, what a great family. So really excited that she was able to see him win that race out there in Eugene. All right. Julie, well done. We're back.
I think we can claim we're back.
We're back
2 weeks from now when the next one comes out.
Right, that's right.
Or maybe like several months in.
Yeah.
We have to prove ourselves again. We got to prove ourselves.
Talk about it. We got to do it. All right. Well, thanks again to our guest today, Tsunoda, for joining us today on Pace the Nation. Excited to be back with you, Julie. Great job. Thanks to Chris for making this possible. But mostly, thank you to the audience. Appreciate your guys' support and listening to us. Looking forward to interacting with you. We're at Pace the Nation on Instagram. We're at Pace the Nation on Twitter. And maybe we got to get on Threads as well. So we'll do all that. And we've got a marketing person.
Let's try
person.
Not to bite off more than we can chew.
Well, you're a marketing person, so let's get you to work. Put you to work.
Oh, man.
All right. For Julie, I'm Chris. Thanks again to Tenoda. This is Pace the Nation. We'll see you in 2 weeks.